speaking on some names from Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Has everyone heard of Vishnu Sahasranama? Do you all know what that is? Do you know? Who can say? Who knows what that is? Just a few. A Vishnu Sahasranama is... First, you're all Tamil Vaishnavas. Of course, a Vaishnava is transcendental to all material designations. So when we say Tamil Vaishnava, we mean a pure spirit soul who is a devotee of Vishnu, who is presently in a body that is called Tamil. You can give. I just drank water. I don't drink. So just to make it short and easy, we say Tamil Vaishnava. So in Tamil Vaishnava culture, which goes back and back and back, long, long way, this recital of Vishnu Sahasranama has always been a central practice. And not only among the Vaishnavas, among the smartas also, they also chant Vishnu Sahasranama. There used to be a lot of tension between the Vaishnavas and the smartas in Tamil Nadu. But nowadays, it's quite common that you'll find in temples that smartas and Vaishnavas together, they're chanting Vishnu Sahasranama. So Sahasra means a thousand. So Vishnu Sahasranama means a thousand names of Vishnu. One of the names in Vishnu Sahasranama is Sahasranama, he who has a thousand names. But actually it's just a sample because he has unlimited names. Because he has unlimited qualities. Name 382 is Karta. Those of you who study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, you'll know that this word comes up in Bhagavad Gita. There is one verse in particular that Srila Prabhupada quoted quite often. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma karta ham iti manyate. Which means that a person who is impelled by ahanka, false ego. Is under the control of the three modes of material nature. And being a great fool, he thinks, I'm doing everything by myself. So, karta means doer, one who acts. So everyone does something. As Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kaschik shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. No one can stop acting even for a moment. We're always doing something. If you think I will do nothing, well, we still have to breathe. And even if we just sit in one place and do nothing, in one sense we're doing something because we decided not to do anything. So everyone is doing something. But the only truly independent actor is Krishna. When we say Vishnu Sahasranam, then we mean Krishna. Krishna and Vishnu are non-different. So, Krishna, Vishnu is the only independent actor. Swatantramana. We may think, I will do something. But our being able to do so is contingent on other factors which are not under our control. For instance, this morning we discussed that tomorrow morning we shall drive to Munich, leaving here at about 8 o'clock. It's the normal kind of thing that people discuss. We shall do this, we shall do that. But if we stop to think about it, we could probably find 1,000 things, 1,000 reasons to prevent us going. I might die. I might get contract some serious illness or have an injury. There might be an earthquake or more likely an avalanche or that would block the road. And you can go on thinking of so many reasons that I wouldn't go. But if Krishna wants to do something, there's nothing that can stop him. Krishna is fully independent in activity. He's fully capable of doing everything also. Yeah, if I think that tomorrow I will jump to Munich, well, we can imagine it, but I can't do it. But if Krishna wants to, he can. There's description of Krishna and Balaram. They were on the Pravarshana mountain, and that was surrounded by Jarasandha and set on fire. And that was 80 miles high, and they just jumped down. One time I was giving a lecture to a group of lawyers in Warangal, within which is now Telangana, was previously in Andhra Pradesh. And lawyers, they always want to try and catch you because that's their profession. They want to try and catch you out. Lawyer, wakil. It's called wakil in Tamil, Hindi, Bengali, all these languages, which is an Urdu word which suggests that there was no such position in Vedic India. So the lawyer, he thought, he's trying to catch me out here. He said, you see, that Ram is supposed to be God, but Hanuman jumped to Lanka and he couldn't. He had to build a bridge. So it seems that Hanuman is more than Ram. So I replied that yes, Ram, although he's the supreme, he's acting as a human being. Otherwise, it's difficult to love someone if they're too much above you. If they're so great, then there's such a gap that you can't come very close and love them very intimately. And that's actually why we, in this Krishna Consciousness Movement, we emphasize Krishna more than Vishnu, even though they're the same person. Because as Vishnu, he's grand, like a king. But with Krishna, he's friendly. So we can come very close to him. So to the lawyer, I didn't say all these things, but I just said that Ram, he's acting like a human, but Hanuman could jump only because Ram gave him the power to do so. And Hanuman could understand that. So he didn't think, karta ham, he didn't think, I am doing. A Vaishnava's prominent one, major quality, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized, is humility. His humility is in understanding that even if he does very great things, he understands it's only because Krishna has given me the power to do so. So everyone is doing things, but only Krishna is independent to do anything. And in one sense, we can't do anything, because only when Krishna gives us the power to do anything can we do anything. One example from my personal life, which I've often given, I'll give it again now. One morning about 20 years ago, in the winter, at ISKCON Center in Vadodara in Gujarat,
ISKCON,
I woke up at the usual time, about 3:30, something like this. And generally at night I sleep in the same kurta that I wear in the day, unless it's very hot, but it was the winter, so it was very cold. So every morning I get up and then I take this off and then I go to the bathroom and take a shower and everything, like brush teeth and all. And I don't think, okay, now get up and then take off the shirt, walk to the bath. I just automatically, just like that. When you do something habitually, then you don't think about it. We have to be careful in doing our sadhana that we don't become mindless in doing so. We have to apply our mind also, not that just Hare Krishna, and just out of habit, without thinking. So anyway, this one particular morning I got up and I couldn't take my kurta off. Because from the cold, my whole arm had become so stiff that I couldn't move it. It's very painful. So even things that we take for granted, we don't realize that only if Krishna allows can we do it. So that's why an intelligent person never says, I will do this, I will do that. He will say, if Krishna wills, I will do such and such. So tomorrow I will go to Munich, Krishna willing. Inshallah, the Muslims say. You've all heard that? Yeah. It's a very good thing to say, actually. To understand that we are not the controller, we are not the doer. Ultimately, we can only do anything if He acts through us. That doesn't mean we can do bad things and say, well, actually Krishna did it. Because He gives us tiny measure of independence. So we can choose to use that properly and act well, or we can misuse it and act sinfully. But even if we act sinfully, that we have no power to do so unless Krishna gives us energy which we can use or misuse. Now, the previous names to this have been Karanam and Karanam, which means the cause of the universe. So the cause can be analyzed in various ways. For instance, why did you come here today? What is the cause? Well, you can say that one cause is that The main cause, I would think, is that you want to hear and chant about Krishna. There may be other causes also. You'd like to meet the other devotees who come here. Maybe the prasad here is very nice and you'd like to take some of that also. That may be another factor. Another cause we could say is the vehicle in which you came. Without that you couldn't have come. So these are all various causes. So similarly, in the creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe, there may be many factors. But the one who makes everything possible ultimately is Krishna. Just like in this universe, there are the Pancha Mahabhuta, which means earth, water, fire, air and ether. So these all combine into various forms. And into non-forms also, like air and electricity, and but all the stuff in the all the matter in the universe arises from five basic principles. So these are all the causes. They are the they are the stuff from which the universe is made out of. And another major cause of the universe is the desire of the conditioned souls to act in this world separately from Krishna. But none of this could be possible without Krishna deciding, yes, it should be done, and putting the whole process into motion. Just like you may, there may be clay, there may be a potter's wheel, but unless there's a potter to actually form it all together, to form the pot into form the clay into a pot, then the pot does not come into existence. So in this way Krishna is also Karta, the doer. Krishna also he identifies with, he's with every jiva who acts. And Krishna is he's the co-actor, you could say. The jiva performs actions for which he becomes responsible. If we do something good, we get a good reaction. If we do something bad, we get a bad reaction. But Krishna is also present as Paramatma within everyone's heart.
Krishna
And he's also the doer of actions of the jiva in the sense that he is upadrashtanumantacha. He's the overseer and the permitter. Anumanta means he lets it happen. Anumati, yeah, he gives permission. But he is, yeah, upadrashta. He sees from, he's aloof, overseas. So he doesn't take the reaction. And the jiva who thinks, I am the doer, well, in one sense it's true, but only in a limited sense. But Vishnu is not limited. He's the karta, the doer of activities without any restriction or limitation on them. Now, the next name is Vikarta. So, as often in Vishnu Sahasranam, one name after another, they're very similar in sounding. In this verse, just in this name and the previous three names are Karanam, Karanam, Karta, Vikarta. This we also had in discussion of Chaitanya Charitamrita this morning, the subject of Vikara. That Vikara means transformation. What was the verse? Mani joy che. It's still there. Mani joy che prashabe hemabha. Mani joy che obikrite prashabe hemabha. Jagad rupa hoyisha tabu abhika. So that exactly fits with the meaning of this name. It means there's a certain kind of jewel which produces large amounts of gold, but which doesn't become transformed itself. Just like that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna Lila, there's the Syamantaka Mani, which produces every day so much gold. But it remains the same. So in the same way, Krishna, he creates the universe, but he doesn't become transformed. If a woman gives birth to a child, her body becomes transformed. There's some changes there. The skin expands on the stomach. There are hormonal changes. And often after giving birth, during pregnancy becomes fatter and remains so after giving birth. But Krishna, he gives birth, that prashabe, that means just like prasuti, which is another word for birth. He gives birth, so to speak, to the universe, but he doesn't become transformed in doing so. So that was the subject matter of the class this morning. Now this name, Vikarta, means he who does undergo modification. Which sounds quite contradictory, and it is. But that is a transcendental feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That all apparent contradictions are possible in Him. For instance, He's the biggest. Everything is within Him. He's also the smallest. He's also within everything. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan. So He's also the kindest. That if someone approaches Him in love, even that person may be a great sinner, if he's actually sincere, Krishna will accept that love and wipe out all his sins. But if someone is inimical to his devotee, Krishna can be the most cruel. So, Krishna, this name means he undergoes modifications. Now, this series of names, Karanam, Karanam, Karta, this is understood to be especially in relationship with the mundane universe. So, just like in this verse, in this Bengali verse which is written here, Jagad Rup Hoishva means that the Supreme Lord, in one sense, He's also the universe. So, as if we consider the universe to be non-different from Vishnu, which it is in one sense. Then the universe undergoes modifications. And although in one sense he doesn't undergo modifications, means he's always the Supreme Personality. He doesn't grow old. He's above the joys and sorrows of this world. But he appears in this world as a child. Even though he's unborn, he takes birth as the son of Devaki or Yashoda. And he appears to grow like an ordinary child. So he appears to undergo modifications. Now this doesn't mean that his child form is illusory. I also had a child form. All of you who are beyond the age of childhood here, we can all look back and remember, I was a child. But that child form is illusory. It no longer exists. It it has no factual existence at the present time. And in future also, it will not have any factual existence. It's gone. Never to come again. But Krishna's form as a child, that grows into the Bala Roop, that changes into the Kishora Roop. So he goes from being Kumar to Kishore, from being a boy to a youth. And we all went through that. And after Kishore, then we become older, then old man, and like this. But Krishna is eternally Kumar, he's eternally a boy, and he's also eternally Kishore, a youth. And in one universe, at one time he shows the form of a boy, and in another universe he's in the form of a youth. So he undergoes modifications, but only apparently. Because he's eternal, although he changes from childhood to boyhood to youth, in another sense he doesn't change at all. So we find in Krishna Leela that some devotees relate that they want to see Krishna as their child. So he's a child for them. For some, the gopis, they want to dance with him as lovers, so he makes himself available. And all these forms are eternal. So Krishna, he never undergoes modifications, and he does also. Do you all understand that? Well, it's not really understandable according to mundane logic. But then Krishna is not under mundane logic. He's independent of what we think should be and should not be. So he's also Vikarta, he undergoes modification. This also means he creates the world which undergoes modification. So because he's Karta and Karanam, he's the maker and the cause of the world in which everything is always changing. So in that sense, he can be considered to be Vikarta, undergoing modification. Because we undergo modifications, it means we're always changing, then we're always unsure and we're always insecure. What will happen in future? We don't know. Young girl is about to get married. She hopes everything will work out nicely. She doesn't know. The husband may turn out to be not what you thought he was. Or Or then, just like we say, tomorrow I will go to Munich, but we don't know. I may leave this body before then. That we have to die is sure, but when, we don't know. And what will happen at death? We don't know where we're going. So this changing, that is a cause of fear, insecurity. It's, we seek change for the sake of pleasure. This is very prominent in the modern Western world. People always want to try out something different and do something new. It's not so prominent in traditional societies. Just like in traditional Tamil society, people, they dress the same way every day throughout their life. Well, at the marriage, the bride may wear special sari, but it's a sari, just the same. And they people eat more or less the same food every day. But in the Western world, there's the idea you should have variety. So one day you go to a Chinese restaurant, another day you go to an Indian restaurant, then you go to a Vietnamese restaurant, and all different styles and varieties. And if people have to do the same thing over and over again, I think very boring. So change, we think, let's do something different. That will, that's interesting, that will give us pleasure. But it's also a cause of insecurity. So Krishna is changeless, but there's no boredom in that. And whatever actions he takes, whatever action we make that causes some change, but that for Krishna doesn't cause any, it isn't a cause of fear. In this whole world is a world of immense variety. No two people are the same. No two people are the same. No two bodies are the same. No one looks exactly the same as anyone else. Even identical twins, but the mother can tell who is different. No two minds are the same. No two faces are the same. No two karmas are the same. We don't know what happened in the past. What was I in my previous life? I can't even remember what I was doing at this time 2 days ago. We don't know our future. We don't know how many more births we have to go through. Every life we try to get happy, but we get more distress than happiness. So So this is a world of much change, but that change it produces much distress.
இந்த உலகமே மாற்றங்கள் அனைத்து மாற்றங்கள் அதிகமாக உண்டானதால் ஆனால் அது அதுல என்ன என்னன்னு கேட்டா நாங்கள் துன்பத்தை தான் அதிகமாக நாங்கள் பெற்றுக்கொண்டிருக்கிறோம்.
But the activities that Krishna performs, that is simply full of bliss.
ஆனால் கிருஷ்ணர் என்ன செயல்கள்லாம் செய்கிறார் அந்த அதெல்லாம் ஆனந்தமானது.
So we just have to make one change.
ஆனால் நாங்கள் ஒரு மாற்றம் செய்ய வேண்டும்.
Change our motive from that of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna to that, let me serve Krishna.
என்ன மாற்றம் செய்ய வேண்டும் என்றால் நாங்கள் அனுபவிக்கணும் என்ற நினைப்பை விட்டுவிட்டு கிருஷ்ணர் அனுபவிக்கணும் என்ற மாற்றத்தை நாங்கள் செய்ய வேண்டும்.
And then we come to the same platform as Krishna.
நாங்கள் அப்படி அந்த நிலைக்கு வரும்போது அந்த மனநிலைக்கு வந்து நாங்கள் கிருஷ்ணருடைய தளத்துக்கு நாங்கள் வரோம்.
Not that we can ever be equal in power to Krishna.
அது அர்த்தம் இல்லை வந்து கிருஷ்ணருக்கும் நீங்களும் வந்து ஒரே சக்தி இருக்குது என்று அர்த்தம் இல்லை.
But we go beyond the distress of the various changes within this world.
நாங்கள் வந்து இந்த துன்பம் அப்பாற்பட்ட இடத்துக்கு நாங்கள் செல்வோம்.
We come to the eternal position.
நாங்கள் நித்தியமான நிலைக்கு வருவோம்.
Otherwise we're always changing.
அப்படி இல்லாவிட்டால் நாம் இந்த மாற்றங்கள் மாறிக்கொண்டே இருக்கும்.
Sometimes human, sometimes dog.
சில நேரம் மனிதராக, சில நேரம் நாயாக.
Sometimes cat, sometimes chimpanzee. Sometimes a god in the heavens and sometimes a worm in someone's intestines. But when we surrender to Krishna, then we become fixed in our spiritual form in Krishna's service.
நாங்கள் கிருஷ்ணர் மேல முழுமையாக நாங்கள் அதை நாங்கள் நாங்கள் ஒருமை ஒருமைப்படுத்தி விட்டால் வந்து நாங்கள் அதை நாங்கள் தியானம் செய்யலாம்.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
All right, that's all for now, and now we'll distribute some prasad. Is that all right? ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. இங்கே